7:15 now, according to the talk and text line here, a lot of people loving Monty Python. I just don't get it for whatever reason. Dr. Corey Hebert joins us, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. How you doing, Dr. Corey?
I'm good. Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. Monty Python makes you laugh or not? Are you a big fan?
It makes me chuckle.
Okay.
Chuckling is okay.
Chuckling's fine. Okay, sure, absolutely. But you're saying not a full-blown guffaw.
No.
Not a guffaw.
And I like goofy humor, so yeah. You know, it's just not my cup of tea.
But a chuckle.
I will chuckle. It's goofy.
I think I think that's a good way to put it. Maybe that's the way I feel about it. I'll chuckle, but I won't guffaw.
There you go.
All right.
I won't slap my knee, that's for sure.
Oh,
I might
certainly
slap
no knee slapper. No, absolutely.
Yeah, but I might slap the body, but not my knee. That's
so no
sure.
Knee slapper. And let's talk about vaping, because a lot of people think. Have you tied the knot yet, by the way, or not?
I have not, but very soon.
Okay.
Very soon.
And I'll try to make this quick, because I know you probably, just hit your drive and you're waiting to hit your 7-iron. The group behind you is waiting. So let's talk about... Let's talk about vaping, and seriously, though, about what do we know now that we didn't know when these things first came out?
Yeah, well, I just want people to recognize that anytime you incinerate something and it goes into your lungs, it's bad. Mm. It doesn't matter if you're burning leaves, it doesn't matter if you're burning tobacco, it doesn't matter if you're burning marijuana. It is bad for your lungs, right? But this vaping thing adds a new little piece to it, because when you vape, it's an electric coil that's in the chamber of this vape. So it ignites the electric coil, which also has these heavy metals in them, right? So when you inhale that, you inhale whatever you're inhaling in the vape, which is either some type of nicotine, some type of marijuana, or whatever, which is not regulated by the FDA in any way. So it could also have fentanyl or any other chemical that can kill you, or drug that can kill you, but it also has all of these heavy metals, and we've seen that, the nickel, the chromium, the cadmium, the lead, all these things are going into your lungs, and that's a bad thing, but they're also going into your bloodstream, and they can be toxic to you, neurotoxic, as well as carcinogenic and causing cancer. So, just for full transparency, we are seeing a slight decrease in the vaping among teens. Mm-hmm. It was a huge decrease in the last 2 years, but now we've seen that start to pick up a little bit. And we think some of the reasons that we're seeing that is because we have a lot of the flavored vapes now. So they have all these flavors like strawberry and grape and that kind of thing. So it's kind of enticing the children. But we're also seeing the fact that these vapes are coming in so many different types of forms. So the parents may be out there right now and they bought their child a highlighter for school or a phone case or some type of backpack, and that is the vape. The vape is being disguised in that. So you're buying the children's device. And then, it's a big deal. Yeah, these companies in China are disguising the vapes in everyday children's things, though, like a pencil case or an iPhone holder, anything, and so
really?
We're seeing a little bit of it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I did a story on that just this week on WWL TV, because parents are being hoodwinked into thinking that they're buying something for their child and it actually is a vape. So the ability for children to escape, because they're using either nicotine, at the nicotine that you have in a vape is sometimes one pack is equal to the amount of nicotine in 35 packs of cigarettes. So either they're going to get that or they're going to get the marijuana vape. And like I said, none of these things are regulated and they can cause a problem. And I've seen more than one 12-year-old or 11-year-old that's vaping every day at school. And it's a real problem in our New Orleans and Metairie schools.
Well, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back talking to Dr. Corey Hebert, who is, of course, the Associate Professor of Pediatrics at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine, also WWL-TV's medical, what would you say, doctor correspondent? What do you call yourself?
I'm a correspondent. They call me the medical correspondent. Whatever works.
All right, we're talking about vaping, and that's interesting. You can go to WWLTV.com and find the story about how they're hiding vapes in highlighters and pencil cases and iPhone holders, things like that, where you don't even know that your kid has it, and they could be vaping. We'll continue when we come back. 720 Traffic Now, WWL. 725 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Dr. Corey Hebert, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. And surprisingly, and I just watched the piece that you did on Channel 4. I tried, but I got a lot of stuff going on here, Dr. Corey. I saw most of it. Now they're hiding vapes and highlighters and pencil cases and iPhone holders, and people are saying, well, how are the kids getting them? And I guess the kids are going in and buying them, or somebody's buying them for the kids, and the parents don't know about it. Accurate?
That is correct. But, you know, when you are a parent and your kid said, look, I want this highlighter for school, and you go on Amazon and you buy it, you bought the vape.
I got you. So, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Let's talk about popcorn lung.
Yes. So popcorn lung is something that we're seeing. And I guarantee you that the law offices of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe are going to be suing. You're going to hear this in 5 years from now. I just showed my age. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. You're going to see.
No, but what's interesting is we talked about Monty Python. You made a Three Stooges reference just now. That's interesting.
There you go. Right. Now, they make me knee slap.
Me too. There you go. That's a guffaw. That's a full guffaw right there.
That's a guffaw. Well, you know, but I will say, you know, when you're looking at the 5-year term of people vaping, you're going to see a huge amount of popcorn lung. You're going to see a huge amount of toxins. Popcorn lung is something that you get from vaping. It's irreversible. It causes your lungs to actually, they call it popcorn lung, not because your lungs look like popcorn. They do that because of the chemical that is released from the vape causes the same thing that they used to get when they would have the folks at the factory that made popcorn. Mm-hmm. They inhale this type of chemical, and it causes them to have irreversible lung damage. So that's coming with the vaping, as well as just the concept of you're going to have some other illnesses, diseases, cancers, because people are vaping so much. And I would be remiss if I did not mention that vaping was going down because of these nicotine patches. Have you ever heard of a nicotine patch called Zyn? Have you ever heard of this?
Not really, no.
Okay, so this is a big one. You can't go, and you're a golfer, and if you just pay attention when you're on the golf course, everyone out there has this little pack, and they put it in their mouth. It's like between their cheek and gum, like mm-hmm. you used to put like Skoal and those types of things, and it's a nicotine pouch.
Oh, yes. Now I know what you're talking about. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was named.
And that has, yeah, but the children are putting 3 and 4 of these things in their mouths, getting their nicotine rush, and that also is a big problem. People are trying to they're trying to get rushes from things. They're trying to escape. They're trying to get these dopamine hits because these iPhones and cell phones, they are constantly giving you dopamine every time you see one of these little snippets, and it comes so quickly, so people are addicted to dopamine. So when you take nicotine or you take anything that's a stimulant like that, it's fulfilling that dopamine that you're getting from being on your phone all day. And you've got to get these phones away from these children. They cannot have open access to phones because they're going to get addicted to the dopamine in their brain, and they're going to be watching porn. They're going to be talking to pervs going to play Roblox, because that's an open access. So all of these things, the vaping, all of this is a way for them to either escape from their harsh reality that they're not really prepared for what they need to do in life, or trying to get the dopamine that they need to cope with their dopamine addiction from their phones. And then this is being borne out in data at this point, and we'll be able to produce it and publish it in the next year or so. So it's just a bad situation.
Here's the thing. I would remind you, you're under oath, and I do have the right to recall you in the future to talk about Zyn and nicotine and also about dopamine addiction. Doc, real quick, is there any way to tell if your kid is vaping?
You know, there's really no way to tell, except if you have to know your kid and you ask them, are you vaping? Mm-hmm. Really harsh. And then go through their stuff. Yeah. That's the only thing. And I hate to be this way. Oh, you know, you shouldn't invade your kid's privacy. Until you pay mortgage on my house, your child does not have privacy when it comes to me going through their stuff and seeing if they are doing something that's going to destroy them. I can't, you know, you have to go through their stuff. But there's no physical way for you to be able to know.
The only thing I would say, I'm no doctor, but the detective in me would say, instead of asking, are you vaping, I just casually say, So what's your favorite vape, or how often are you vaping? And see if they answer right.
Yes, that's a good trick. Yeah. That's a really good trick.
Well, it's a technique, Doc. It's not a trick. Thank you, Dr. Yes. Corey Hebert. Have a great weekend. Associate Professor of Pediatrics at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. Right now it's time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. 7:47, 13 till 8. What happens when a hippie is forced to become an entrepreneur? I say that because I'm using the words of our next guest, Franziska Trautmann, who was quoted by Rich Collins in his article at NOLA.com about glass half full. Good morning, Franziska. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you doing?
I love your story. I really do, about glass half full. Tell me the story from beginning to where we are now.
Sure. So glass half full started, as we say, like most good ideas, over a bottle of wine. My co-founder, Max, and I were sharing a two-buck chuck in our college house while we were seniors at Tulane, realized that that bottle would end up in a landfill because we didn't really have adequate glass recycling here in Louisiana, and decided to change that. We started a GoFundMe, started recycling glass in a backyard back in 2020, and now 5 years later, we just opened up our 3-acre glass recycling facility in Chalmette, where we can process about 500,000 beer bottles in a day.
See, I think this is amazing, because what kind of capital investment are you talking about here? What kind of money have you invested, or do you have invested so far in this?
So the initial GoFundMe was for $10,000, mm-hmm. which is what got us started in 2020. But the recent facility we just built was more like a couple million dollars that was invested by a ton of incredible partners in the city.
So tell me what you do with first, and the reason I ask that is you got people drinking a glass of wine from Trader Joe's. That's what two-buck chuck is, right?
Correct.
Okay. So you're drinking that, and you're looking at a glass bottle, and you're saying, I wonder what, huh? Well, yeah, it's just going to wind up in a landfill. So from that, you start a GoFundMe. Then you get millions in capital investment at this Chalmette plant. Tell me what you guys do with the glass that you collect, and how people drop off glass, how you get the glass that is recycled, and what you do with it.
Yeah, so this Glass Half Full's kind of founding idea was, what if we could turn glass back into sand, which glass is made from sand, and use it in our coastal erosion crisis that we all know is here in Louisiana. And so that was the founding idea. And after years of research with funding also from the National Science Foundation, we've been able to do that and do projects. So that's one of the main uses of our recycled glass, is sand for coastal restoration. But also at our new facility, we can also turn the glass into what's called cullet, which is the raw material that's used to make new bottles. So it goes basically sand to sand and then bottle to bottle as well at the new facility. And the three main ways we collect glass across Louisiana, but also Mississippi now, is free drop-offs where anyone can bring us their glass. So we have locations all over, especially the greater New Orleans region. And those are all listed on our website. And then we also have residential pickups where we'll pick up the glass right from your door. And then we also collect from the main source of glass, right? That's our bars, hotels, restaurants, casinos, all around town, Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama.
I like the story about the high school. I'm not going to mention it, but the kids dropping off mommy's wine bottles, mommy's calm down juice, right?
So, yes, it's actually more common than you'd think.
No, I don't doubt at all that it's common. So when it comes to property or land that you're creating, there are results from this, right? Land that you can stand on and plant vegetation on?
Yes. One of those is our island in Bayou Bienvenue, so right on the shores of Bayou Bienvenue in Chalmette as well, where we've utilized our sand to create these small islands. And then, yes, exactly, be able to plant, you know, native grasses as well as cypress trees and other trees on that land.
So when it comes to how big this could get, how far this could go, what are you thinking? Because I know you said you are a hippie turned entrepreneur. If you were a hippie, I'm guessing you were thinking about tomorrow. Now that you're an entrepreneur, you're probably thinking 5-10 years down the line.
Yes, exactly. And for us, 5-10 years down the line, we hope that we're expanded throughout the Gulf South. We really see a huge lack of glass recycling in that area. You know, 70% of all glass in the U.S. ends up in landfills. So there's a huge, huge gap in access to glass recycling, but a lot of it is down here in the Gulf South. And then combined with the potential use of using it for coastal restoration, it just makes a lot of sense for us to expand into Florida and maybe over to Texas and just recycle as much glass as possible.
Nobody thought of this before? Is this a patented thing or not? I'm just curious.
So people actually had thought of this before. We learned this later, of course. Mm-hmm. We thought we had this idea, and then we learned that other people had this idea. But we're one of the first groups to actually do the research required to put it into action in terms of using it for coastal restoration.
Did you want to talk about some of the investors? I know Ms. Gail Benson is one of them, right?
Yes, we have partners with Benson Capital, which is the incredible Ms. Gail Benson. And she's been awesome. She's been a really great partner for us. I think it's very clear that she cares about the future of Louisiana and especially our coast as well. And so, you know, in her words, it just made sense for her to support us in this. We also have partners in the Miro Foundation out in St. Bernard, another incredible group of people who care deeply about the future of St. Bernard Parish and especially our coast. So we've been really lucky to have, you know, just great partners all across Louisiana supporting us in this from the beginning, from that GoFundMe, you know, all those people supporting us to now having people like Ms. Benson.
We only have 60 seconds left. Tell me the process. What happens? So a bottle, what do you do with a bottle from the time it you get it to when it becomes sand, I guess?
So it's all a completely automated process. So it goes into the hopper. It's crushed down. Labels are separated. Any caps, corks, anything non-glass is separated. And then optical sorters actually automatically can separate the glass by color as well, separate out any contaminants. And then the sand is pulverized, rounded. That's something people ask a lot. It's pulverized, it's rounded out, and then separated by size. And that's pretty much it. All the contaminants come out, all the labels, everything like that.
It's a lot different than plastic, right? Because plastic recycling can get kind of complicated, but with glass, not that difficult?
Correct, because glass is pretty much glass.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, plastic is not always just plastic,
right.
You know.
How can people find out more or donate or get involved if they want to, Francisca?
Yes, they can head to our website, glasshalffull.co.
Glasshalffull.co. Now, real quick, did you enjoy your life more as a hippie or as an entrepreneur?
I think I'm liking being an entrepreneur for now.
It was more fun when you were a hippie, admit it. I'm just kidding. Congratulations, y'all. Do some great work. Good talking to you, Francisca Troutman, co-founder and CEO of Glass Half Full, 755, 5 till 8, traffic now, WWL.